So how many of you came to church today and you were thinking, you know, I want information on how to be a fool? Okay, well, you're not going to get it. Instead, God's going to give you some instructions on how not to be a fool. How not to be foolish. So, any of you, I don't even know if they do this anymore. Have any of you ever had a smelling salts experience? Back in the day when we played football, before they knew what concussions really did to you, you got a concussion and the trainer came out and put some smelling salts and that sort of startled you awake and you went back into the game so you could get another concussion. That was really smart, right? Well, smelling salts, they act to bring sharpness and alertness to the brain, right? Sort of shock your brain into sense. How many of you have ever been in a eucalyptus sauna? Guys, they had one of those on the cruise ship a couple weeks ago, and that is a nice deal. And again, it's a smell experience, but it's sort of a smell to sharpen your thoughts, your brains, to clear your head, but it's sort of this slow seeping penetration. Guys, sometimes our brains need both. We need the jolt. We need the shock. And then other times our brains need information, truth, to penetrate, to soak and seep into our bodies to change our lives. Sometimes Proverbs is like the smelling salts. They're quick, pithy statements to get our attention, to jolt us into behavior. And then sometimes Proverbs is like the eucalyptus. It sort of has to seep in. Someone once said, when you read the book of Proverbs, the thing that you discover is you've never really thought enough about anything. You know, in America, we don't know what to do with Proverbs. We don't have this anymore because they're not promises. They're sort of observations about life that need to be thought about and applied to our lives on a regular basis. Oftentimes, a proverb is an impartial truth. A proverb needs to be laid alongside another proverb about the same thing from another part in a book. You sort of lay them down side by side, and together you glean the more complete picture of information and truth. They're observations about how life works. They help us get rightly focused and directed in our behavior. Today's study is, we're going to look at primarily three different passages from the book of Proverbs. It speaks about five different types of fools or foolish behavior. And throughout the book of Proverbs, the main purpose for writing the book, we talked about the first week, is to have wisdom. God wants us to be wise. Proverbs is about wisdom. And the opposite of wisdom in the book of Proverbs is foolishness. Now, when you call somebody a fool today in America, it's just a little bit more than an insult, right? But in the book of Proverbs, in God's eyes, a fool is someone who has, by the general course of their life, been habitual in their decisions and have disregarded the principles of reality even, and because of that, their lives individually and the lives of other people around them, they sort of come to ruin. bad things are happening. You know, Proverbs teaches us that, you know, you can't just do whatever you want to your body, whenever you want to do it, and be healthy. Proverbs teaches us that you can't just behave any way you want to behave and have good relationships. Proverbs tells us that we can't all be self-centered individuals and expect society to be stable. And yet fools disregard these things and their lives come to ruin. Jesus tells a pretty famous parable about the wise and the foolish. You remember Jesus said, the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? And in Proverbs, we sort of understand that wisdom personified as a person is Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, hey, the wise people, they build their houses on me, their lives. I am their foundation for life. And so when the rains come, whether they be literal or figurative rains, when the tumult happens, and it is not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen, because problems and challenges are always going to be a part of our reality. When that happens in the life of the wise person that has built their house, their life is centered in Jesus Christ, it's still there. Jesus said the fool, though, built their house on the sand. There was no structure. There was no stability. There was no attention given to the parameters of the laws of nature and physics. And so when the problems came, the rains came, that house was washed away. That life was in ruin. Fools fail to see the natural boundaries in life. You guys, there are emotional boundaries, there are social boundaries, there are intellectual boundaries, there are spiritual boundaries. And fools reject those boundaries. They don't pay attention to them, so their lives wind up a wreck. You know, guys, if you practically, right, if you keep taking the salesperson up on the buy now, pay later option, eventually you're going to go bankrupt. Fools disregard those basic principles. Series key truth is there's profit in Proverbs, and today's prophet is literally not coming to destruction by being a fool. All right, so we're going to look at three different passages. I think I said that earlier. We're going to look at Proverbs 1:22. Everybody get your Bibles, open them, your phones, your paper, grab one from the chair underneath you. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 22, you go to the center of the Bible, you're pretty much close. You'll probably get the Psalms, and then go towards the back one book and get to Proverbs 1. Verse 22. And the first proverb we're going to look at is sort of the smelling salts proverb. It's direct, it's pithy, it gets your attention. It's this: how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Let me pray. God, so oftentimes when I approach your word and it's very concept driven, like the message you have for us today, When those concepts interact with my life in a way I don't want them to interact, I dismiss them. And God, I know today these truths, these principles are important. So God, I'm praying that all of our minds will be open to the complex nature of your truth and be willing to apply that truth to our lives. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the first fool is the simple fool. How long will you who are simple love your simple way? Now, every fool is out of touch with the realities and the principles of life in some way, shape, or form. The simple fool is the person who is overly gullible. They're easily misled. They believe anything according to Proverbs 14, 15. They're much too easily led and influenced. They're like children. Children are often overly impressed by things that go boom and flash and lights and experiences. So it's a simple. Simple fools are often misled and face ruin because of destructive and dangerous and bad charismatic leaders. Let me say one word. Hitler. The people, the Germans in the gas chambers were simple fools. Misled by a maniacal, charismatic dictator. The people at Jonestown in 1978, when Jim Jones, the cult leader, convinced all the people to drink poison so they could die and go to heaven. They were simple fools. Simple fools are often intellectually lazy. I just don't want to engage the brain to really understand the truth. Proverbs 12:11 says, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Is it easier to be intellectually and physically diligent, or is it easier to sit home and daydream? Simple fools daydream all the time. They're often people who fall for the get-rich-quick schemes, and in doing so, just make others rich. You know, now, Proverbs 19:25 says that the simple cannot be simple anymore. They could change their behavior. They could change their pattern. Or according to 14:18, they can also inherit folly and increase to being full-blown fools. Guys, one of the things that we have to be careful of, I think it's very important to be careful of, is we mistake credulity or gullibility or naivete with a lack of sophistication. In other words, we believe sophisticated people are never foolish, and that's just simply not true. Guys, when I lived in Texas, I knew lots of simple, down-to-earth country folk who were very wise. And I also knew lots of people who had the big house and the good job in Texas who were simple fools. So don't be a fool, aka don't be simple. The second fool there in Proverbs 22 is the mocker. He said, how long will the mockers delight in mockery? Now, the mockers prove that it's not simply a matter of mental capacity when we're talking about being foolish. Mockers believe they always know better than everyone else, doesn't matter what the subject. In verse 24, it says that the mocker refuses to listen to the call of wisdom. Their strategy is to debunk everything and belittling everyone who has a difference of opinion. Anyone who says something that is different. sometimes they come across as worldly wise and sophisticated, but they're really just using their language as a way to run down others to cover up their own foolishness. Now, sometimes satire is appropriate. In fact, Psalm chapter 2, verse 4 says that God even mocks at times. But to dwell in the presence of the mockers, Psalm 1:1, leads to destruction. We can't make mockery a way of our lives and expect our lives to go well. Habitual mockery will poison your relationships. It ruins relationships. Even when that mockery often comes with laughter. If you are a mocker and you're habitually running people down and making fun of circumstances and situations, even when laughter happens in the moment, mockery ruins relationships. To see through something, to just look through something, is to see nothing at all. And so often that is common in our culture. It is so easy for Stuart to see the person pushing the shopping cart down the street and automatically jump to conclusions about the worth and the value of that individual and their behavior, without even taking a moment to consider anything but what I perceive to be the truth. Guys, we live in a culture, a postmodern culture that wants to deconstruct everything, to tear everything that we once heard but felt true down. And we live in an internet culture that makes criticism common. And right now in this room, there are those two converging attitudes that lead to mockery and the foolishness of mockery. It is so hard to have a reasonable, rational conversation about a difference of opinion any longer. And if we are going to overcome differences and come to the truth, we're going to have to do more than understand what the person is saying. We're going to have to understand what's behind them coming to that conclusion. Mockers refuse to do that. Proverbs 1:21, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Fool number three is a stupid fool. Now God said it a little bit nicer, right? He said hate knowledge. But it's literally stupidity. To hate knowledge is stupidity, and I'm not mocking here. Fools hate knowledge. That great theologian John Wayne said this: life is hard, and it's a lot harder when you're stupid. Guys, a Greek lexicon says this word here, it means a stupid fellow, a dullard, a simpleton, and an arrogant one. This isn't somebody who isn't just not bright. This is someone who has no desire to be bright. This isn't just someone who sometimes we reject the truth because we just don't have a good understanding. That's the dullard, right? You know, we just don't quite understand, so I'm just going to reject that. I'm going to ignore it, right? That's a dullard or a simpleton. Someone who spends all of their time on senseless social media or sitcoms, they're not going to get solid information. They never listen to the news or read a paper, right? That's a simpleton. That's a simpleton. A stupid person is one who even goes beyond that, and they know the truth, they hear the truth, but they reject the truth. That's arrogance, right? I know better than that. In Hebrew, the word is kaisel. It's used 70 times in the Old Testament. And 67 of those 70 times are in the book of Proverbs. 67 times in 30 chapters. You think God's trying to get our attention with something? The other three times, by the way, they're used in the, it's used in the book of Psalms. And Psalm sets up the ultimate meaning, and it's around people who clearly hear the word of God. They know the word of God. But instead of following God's word, they choose the ways of the world instead of the ways of the word. Okay, let's open to chapter 6. Go over a few pages or a couple buttons on your app, whatever you're on, right? Chapter 6. Verse 6. And I love this one because whereas the first one was sort of like the smelling salts, how long are you going to be stupid, right? The second one is imagery. It's a eucalyptus room. And we have to sort of sit and think about what it's saying here, right? In Proverbs 6:6, it says this: go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. The fourth fool is a sluggard. The lazy person. It's foolish to be lazy. One of the reasons why I like the passage is because it's imagery and it paints clearly, first of all, the wise person. It says, consider the ant, right? There's characteristics of wisdom before it talks about the characteristics of foolishness. First of all, the wise are self-starters. They need a little bit of instruction, and then get out of their way, they're going to get it done. They don't need somebody threatening them, berating them, watching over them. They have an internal motivation because they're wise. The wise people practice delayed gratification, right? But in contrast, the sluggard is the one who makes constant excuses for small lapses in judgment and behavior, and in that, they wind up, their lives wind up coming to ruin. Yeah, a little bit of nap here, a little too many times with the snooze button there, a little bit of standing around watching the other people at work do the work there, and the promotions never come. The raises never come. And worse, when layoffs are going to happen, they're the first ones in line for layoffs. And they wonder, why me? Because you're a sluggard. You're lazy. And it's like, oh my goodness, I didn't see that one coming. The fool has lost sight of the value of dependability, of getting up. Guys, I hate to say this, but there are probably an inordinate number of sluggards in the pastoral profession. I mean, I know preachers. I call preachers. I have friends that are preachers. I call them, and he's never doing his job. Or what's worse, he's sitting at Starbucks doing his job. Well, what do you mean you're sitting at Starbucks? Well, I'm here having coffee, and I'm learning the culture. No, you're on a three-hour coffee break playing on Facebook. Guys, it is crazy to me that what was once considered reasonable, honest jobs that produce a good outcome for family and future are now considered unreasonable. What do you mean? You want me to come to work every day? At the same time? What are you thinking? Is there an area in your life that might be slipping away just because you're being lazy? I don't know. The fifth fool, the last fool that we're going to look at today, is a troublemaker. This is another smelling salts one. The troublemaker is the person who is in constant conflict, as opposed to the peacemaker who's constantly doing the right thing. Jesus says, blessed are the peace, in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now let's take a reasonable mental leap. So if the peacemakers are the children of God, then the troublemakers are the children of... peacemakers are the bridge builders in their words and their language. You know, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's a peacemaker. But a troublemaker, man, you say something to me, I'm saying something worse to you, right? A troublemaker uses words to create tension, to elevate tension, not to diffuse it. And now, a troublemaker is not the person who insists on honesty for honesty's sake. They often say that, but that's not the case. What they're really doing is they're really looking to create conflict. They're really looking to stir things up because that's the environment in which they feel comfortable. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. And troublemakers don't know how to overlook offenses. And then the other thing that troublemakers often do is even when they engage in conflict, they oftentimes lie about the conflict. And most of that time, the way they lie about the conflict is minimizing or neglecting key pieces of information from the other side so as to make the other individual or the other position seem worse than it really is. That's just as wrong as lying. Withholding key information in the midst of conflict is the same as lying about it. But troublemakers, they do this, they do this without thinking. Troublemakers are like the tattling child. Who liked the tattling child growing up? Okay, look at this passage. Again, this is smelling salts here. Verse 12, it's chapter 6, still in chapter 6. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, motions with his fingers, who plots evil and deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. God says there are six things about the troublemaker fool that God hates. The seventh one is detestable to him. God says a person who stirs up conflict in the community, that's detestable to him. I mean, did you wake up this morning? I wonder how I could be detestable to God today. Well, I can tell you how. Stand at the crossroads there and start gossiping. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Guys, disaster is going to be the eventual ruin of the troublemaker. Troublemakers wind up alone. Troublemakers wind up without. I had some friends a long time ago, 15 years ago or so. And I began to notice that, you know, they were in conflict. They just went from conflict to relationship to conflict to relationship to conflict in relationship. Eventually, the conflict was with me. It just was their pattern of life. And it was made so clear when they had built a house and there was a problem with the bathroom in their house. And something didn't happen in the house the way the builder or the architect is. I don't know. It certainly, the thing wasn't falling apart. It's just the bathroom wasn't right or something. And he said, we're suing them. And I said, you really want to sue over that? He said, oh, yeah, we've done it before. We'll do it again. They weren't even doing it for the outcome, because rationally, emotionally, financially, it couldn't have made sense, right? They're doing it because that's what they enjoyed. Guys, a troublemaker is going to come to ruin, is going to come to destruction, is going to wind up alone. All right, so. So Darren and I were talking about this and said, okay, how are we going to end, right? Thank you for coming to Fellowship of the Rockies today. Hope you feel miserable. So let's do this real quick. Okay, we do this real quick. Can all of us admit that we have been at times a fool like all of those fools? Okay, all right. I don't know that we should be clapping about it or anything, but. Okay, so that gives just. The point from God to us today is, stop being a fool. Don't do that again. Change. Okay, so now we've been handed truth, right? What are we going to do with that truth? Let me just ask everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes for just a second. I would just, is there an area that is way too common? Is there a behavior, a pattern, a thought that needs to be corrected? God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the power of your word and how it ultimately makes a profound impact in our lives when we let it. God, we don't want to be fools. We want to be productive people who love you, who live for you, who have healthy relationships with others. Make the changes where the changes need to happen. And I ask this in Jesus' name.